Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. My name is Jay Koronik, and we're going to have another great show today. Oh boy, are we? Yes. Everybody in place? It's so exciting. We have a special guest in the studio returning to WHFR Journal from our counseling department here at Henry Ford College is Diane Green. Hi, Diane. Welcome.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for having me back.
We've got to get you a microphone.
Oh, absolutely. Otherwise,
we've got a big choice here.
Oh.
I think they all look alike, though.
Yeah. Thank you, Jay. It's great to be back. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And why is Diane Green here? Well, before we get into that big question, John Conroy joins me as co-host. I'm Jay Koronik, if I didn't mention that before. And John is here today. It's so exciting. We have a career expo going on in the Student Center of Henry Ford College. I think about 40 different employers out there advising students and interviewing students for jobs. Yeah, where they can make money. So parking was a little bit of an issue for me today. Got in here from a far distant lot because it was reserved for all the attendees. And so it wasn't my usual convenient spot. So we're running a little bit crazy here. But it got a lot to get in. A lot of news about Dearborn and the surrounding area. It is campaign season and so on. But also, in terms of jobs, where are you going to get a job? So Diane Green has returned again because the counseling department is continuing. And every year it's, of course, a different number of issues. They're continuing with their non-traditional job seminars. And in the fall, it's for women. And in the spring, it's for men, male jobs. So it's non-traditional jobs for women that maybe women wouldn't normally think about.
Absolutely.
Have I stated it good there?
And also, it speaks to the training that individuals then have to secure in order to apply for those jobs.
Right, yeah. Actually, getting the appropriate classwork and getting the appropriate experience, that's all very important, too. Now, this seminar, according to my notes and the beautiful flyer I just got in front of me here, will be a week from next week, Wednesday. So we're giving you a little advance notice. Plan ahead. We'll keep making these announcements over WHFR. Probably will be something in the local papers, too, if our PR department is up and running full speed here.
That has hit. The article was in week, so we're asking folks to mark their calendars.
Okay. So this is a morning experience, no charge, non-traditional careers in technology this time for women. And Wednesday, October 22nd, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Actually, it starts, registration begins at 7:30 with a continental breakfast.
Ooh.
The programs, actually, presentations begin at 8,
okay.
And we plan on finishing out around 1:30, 2 o'clock.
And luncheon, too.
Yes.
You toss at them. That's wonderful. So, free breakfast, free lunch, and information about jobs that maybe women wouldn't typically think of. And usually that is, at least in my experience, in the technology fields, because computers, technology, math, that hasn't been the first thing some women have considered. And in some cases, due to unfortunate stereotypes, they've been sort of discouraged from that, maybe in early schools or schooling. Even the media, the commercial media, the entertainment media, don't often show intelligent, capable women in technology jobs. On TV series, for example.
That's absolutely true. But we want to play our part in making sure that women are aware of all of the unique and wonderful possibilities that are available to them right here at Henry Ford and how those play out into possible employment situations for them. And you've talked about Chad and the things that he's doing today.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think that there are a lot of young women walking around, hopefully applying for positions in non-traditional careers for them. So we're starting to see some real movement and change in those areas.
Because the employers, in most cases, there's not a particular need for a female person. They just want somebody who's qualified
to do the job.
And
absolutely.
It's going to do the job for them. So
yes.
It's not a matter. I'm thinking there's still some jobs, I guess, where it depends if you're a man or a woman, that's a criteria. Not many. And I can't think of any offhand.
I can't either.
Okay, I flip back. The 1960s, Playboy Bunny. Okay.
Yeah,
that, Playboy Bunny. Somebody sued about that. Some men in the 60s or 70s sued, saying, I deserve to be able to apply for that job. Well, you don't look like a bunny. You don't have the, it's just,
The physique for the bunny?
Yeah, exactly. There are male bunnies as well as female bunnies in the real world, but they lost their case case. Of course, that was 40 years ago. So the laws have changed, but the access has only increased to almost all the careers out there for that women want to consider, as well as men. And of course, that's another seminar you'll be presenting in the spring. But.
Absolutely. And I think employers are playing a very important role as they seek out more women to come into positions that have been non-traditional. So I think you get it from that end. And we're finding women that are discovering interest outside of those things that are typically traditional or defined as traditional for us. I had a woman come in last year who was in the skilled trades program pursuing plumbing. And she says, I love it. She says, I enjoy it, and I'm good at it. And
well,
I said, good for you. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing more and more women venturing out into those.
Did you get her number? I have a plumbing problem. Hard to find a good plumber.
That's right. And that's all we want is a good plumber.
Right. That's right. That's whoever does it, yes. And it is a sort of a let's go back to the seminar itself. Again, October 22nd in the morning on that Wednesday, the counseling department here at Henry Ford College will present the seminar. And what are some of the presenters going to be? What kinds of technology areas are we going to be looking at a little bit more in depth this morning?
Okay, we have in place, we will have lead faculty coming in from, for example, our industrial drafting CAD program. And we will have representatives coming in from architecture, construction technology, criminal justice, hospitality. Our manufacturing program will be represented as well. Individuals will have an opportunity to actually tour the lab setups that these lead faculty and instructors use in teaching students. And that always gives them a more realistic sense of what this particular area of work might realistically require. Mm-hmm. We're real excited because ACT is Architecture Construction Tech has now moved to the main campus, and they in the past always did a PowerPoint. This time participants will actually be able to visit that lab setup, which will be great.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, now that they're on this campus, so it's easier for students to enroll in some of the general liberal arts classes too, because they don't have to go to a different campus.
Absolutely.
It's all right here.
That bouncing back.
Sometimes
and forth
that was a problem even for some male students. They didn't want to have to drive back and forth, so they didn't decide to explore this wonderful career area.
The other thing that's always so important is that lead faculty actually involve women students who are matriculating in their programs. This gives the attendees an opportunity to talk to individuals like themselves who are going through the training and can have them speak to some of their concerns as women considering those particular areas of study and work. So it's going to be a really great, great morning.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I think probably, wouldn't you say, especially for technology, but really for every career these days, that significant computer skills. I was having my frustration before this before the show out there in the main office.
And I saw him.
Yeah, I was saying words you can't say on the air, in fact, because a very professional website that we've done business with before, they had a new website. Mm-hmm. They created a new website. Okay. And so our password doesn't work either now, and we're trying to get a new password. And I'll have to say the new website is not much better than the old website, but you have to know how to do a lot of things with a computer, not just how to type in to a word processing program, but how to resolve some of these internet mm-hmm. connection problems too.
You have maneuvering
to
that.
Need the experience in that. And of course, almost all of our classes now here at Henry Ford College on campus, even not just on a course, especially the online ones, mm-hmm. but even the mm-hmm. online classes have a major skill requirement to be familiar with and to be able to do a lot of the projects on computers. Some of the computers are ones that we have right
Absolutely.
Here on campus, but still, it gets frustrating. It's not getting any less frustrating in the computer age, but well, every career is going to demand that kind of prior experience, how to stay calm, which I didn't do myself today, but you need to stay calm and solve the problems. And luckily, most computer problems are, I think, caused by bad programming, so I'm going to blame it on the people who did the programming, but it's also a user error frequently.
Yeah.
That you type things in wrong. You know, you
Absolutely.
Type something in, but all you see is little dots on the screen because it's a uh-huh. secret password. It's like, well, you don't know if you typed it in wrong or not until it tells you incorrect password. Oh, well, I need to go back to school, I guess, and take some classes. But, we used to have, and we still have, some introduction to computer classes, right? In
the low absolutely.
Level in business departments, because some of our students just coming to us just have not had prior experience. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a large percentage too, and they need to. It's almost these days almost like remedial to step into entry level computer skills. But we have classes for that, and I'd say most of the programs though depend on you're already
absolutely.
Knowing a lot of things.
Absolutely, one of the areas in particular that comes to mind is our architecture construction technology program, and it always had been an issue that architects be able to use the rule and draw in the feel.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
what they're promoting is architects carrying their CAD programs in their computers and doing that in the field, as opposed to being able to pull out a piece of paper and draw it there in place. So technology in itself, in terms of making how business is done much more efficient, comes into play. And businesses are wanting to see that. Fields of study are wanting to see that. So we're going to continue to see it become more and more sophisticated. And those of us who are a little bit more challenged, perhaps being a little bit more frustrated.
Well, at times, I'm very optimistic, so I always believe the computer is going to work just fine.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, if for one reason or another.
Well, my motto is, it's great when it works, but when it doesn't, it's so frustrating.
Yes.
Yep. John?
I just wanted to say that the frustration takes over from what you're trying to do. It takes you away from actually trying to complete the task.
Right.
But I go back to the days of trying to enter index cards number by number by number, and if one of those is out of place, your computer program is shot.
Right,
so,
right.
Okay, my old-time story is that I took one class in architectural drawing, as it was called, in high school, decades ago, of course, but the whole first week, and this is hilarious when you think about it now by comparison with the computer-based high-tech programs, the whole first week we did nothing but learn how to properly sharpen our pencils. Seriously, because you had to draw everything, and
That's
it had
right.
to be very precise, thin lines with certain, you know, grades of pencils,
mm-hmm.
and how to get the exact right kind of point and maintain it. You know, you don't just sharpen it in the morning.
That's right.
You have to maintain it every few minutes, and they give you little bits of sandpaper to not to sharpen, but to shape.
Mm-hmm.
The tip.
The point.
Yeah, because they'd have the little pencil sharpeners with blades in them, of course, but you had to use those very delicately, and then you had to shape it with the, oh my gosh. So we're thank goodness we're beyond that, and we can get into what I think is actually more pure design issues, except that the tools are technology-based.
Absolutely.
And it's unfortunate that some of the stereotyping still going on in the media and our society might not make women choose to explore these careers at the outset. And so, and I know that your counseling department on a one-on-one basis would not stop from suggesting the full range of things for people, but this is a great seminar. We are talking about, and it's going to happen again, tell your friends, family, whatever, current students or people who are not students here currently,
right.
everybody's welcome to come to the seminar, Non-Traditional Careers in Technology for Women. and it's on Wednesday, October 22nd, a week from next Wednesday, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. And as Diane Green said, the registration actually starts at 7:30 when the Continental Breakfast is ready, too. So, and then it'll be a great program in the morning from the various lead teachers here on campus, but also some tours of our facilities, too.
And the students who will be participating, mm-hmm. current students who will be interacting with participants who will be on campus.
And that's great, too, sort of like they can answer the peer, it's peer counseling, in fact. In effect, you have the people that are already in the programs talking as a student to the other potential students. What could be better than that? So it's a great, that's a great adjunct to it. I think a couple years ago you began having the peers?
Actually, we've tried to include them all along.
Most of the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Because yeah. I think that just adds value to the experience for individuals who are coming in.
Okay. So how do they register? Registration in advance is recommended.
Yes, we're recommending that you call 313-845-9617 to register. Of course, we accept and welcome walk-ins. But again, that is 313-845-9617.
That's great.
Okay.
So, and I suspect on the hfcc.edu website, our college website, they still have the extra C in there on the website address, that it will be one of the activities, events, probably the right. first page you get to will list that, but it's a campus event probably. That's probably the category it would also be under, too.
Absolutely.
So it'll be there. As always, it's great seeing you again, Diane.
Thank
John,
you.
John, a follow-up
Thank
question?
You. Yeah, I got a quick question.
Okay.
The people that are here doing the presenting and the seminar, when we have your follow-up classes or when the students are taking their normal classes, do you invite any experts from the field to come and speak in
no,
those classes?
No, we pretty much oh, you mean in terms of the instructors themselves?
Or guests, in the people in the field, so to speak.
I'm guessing on this, but I would think that faculty teaching here at the college at any and every opportunity invite individuals in. I know all of the programs, and this is a Perkins sponsored activity.
Okay.
And Perkins dollars support our career and technical education programs here. All programs are required to have advisory boards made up of experts from the associated field to sit on that committee and give them current input in terms of the kinds of things that are occurring in the field, updates in the field, changes in the field. So I would not be at all surprised if lead faculty, in fact, invite those individuals into their classes to do demonstrations and presentations.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a little plug finally here, too, because it is technology related, and that's everything we're doing here at WHFR and in the telecommunication program on campus. The one thing that, of course, people are going to bring up, I know if they attend this, is where are the jobs? How many are there? How soon can I get one
that's
that pays me money?
That's always the question.
How good are the benefits? And with telecommunication, and both the lead teacher, Susan McGraw, our general manager also here at WHFR, and my colleague, we try to be honest with them that the telecom area is a four-year degree sort of experience. There are chances that some people maybe taking an internship with us at the end of their sophomore year, before they transfer on to a four-year school to finish up their program, like Wayne State or Eastern Michigan or U of M Dearborn has a communication program of sorts. I don't want to say too much negative, but they don't stress radio and television skills quite as much as we do here, so it depends on your specialty. But it's a four-year degree. So, and many of these other degrees can be four-year degrees, too. Architectural programming is a four-year degree, absolutely.
Yeah, and we're seeing more and more of our two-year associate degree students take advantage of articulation agreements that we have with four-year institutions in the area that afford them the opportunity to very seamlessly continue on for a bachelor's degree. And we also have that information available in the counseling office, to share with students.
Yeah, and there are some agreements in general, or at least the the transfer issues are resolved on many programs, even if you don't have an articulation agreement.
Absolutely.
There's things you can say, well, this will almost probably transfer. it's always the, you know, unless we have one of these articulation agreements, and they are increasing, ever increasing here at the college, and it's wonderful, but it's the four-year institution that you're going to, they are in charge of their classes and what they want to do or what they want to require for the students coming in. It is their their turf, okay?
That is true.
And so we respect that, but our students want to know exactly what's the best approach, so there isn't any question about their transferability. And so many of these programs do have that in place. I know that telecom has many we've investigated the four-year programs, and we kind of know what almost is going to transfer totally. A lot of people in Career Expo were looking in the window thinking, can they get a job here too?
Maybe. Come on in.
Maybe.
Come and say hello.
Okay.
Well, we just saw the information regarding the articulation agreement with the Center for Creative Studies in Interior Design.
Yes, a new one. That's come out. And then we have a number of 3+1 articulation agreements with Eastern, where they pretty much take all of our technical areas of study. Students can stay here not only the 2 years for the associate's degree, but an additional year to round out those liberal arts requirements, and then transfer to the 4 year with 1 year of studies remaining.
Many of our programs do offer what some schools say are their junior level classes. Other schools will accept them from us, and some of those schools say, no, we've got to take it the same thing over again at our school. So that's always been a problem, a minor frustration, not a problem, in the past. It is being resolved pretty well now, because after all, educational institutions are here supposedly for the students, and we want to get people into the programs they find appealing to them and that they can succeed in, and do it as easily as possible. Make that transition from a two-year to four-year school as easily as possible. So it's everybody's advantage to work
Absolutely.
These out, not just us.
And I think students need to understand that's why you have a counseling division. Do come in and talk with us. We can help you address those issues and concerns as it relates to transferability of coursework from Henry Ford to your desired four-year institution.
And last but not least, the counseling division is located on campus where now?
We're in the Learning Resources Center, now newly named the Student Success Center.
Wow. Oh boy. Oh.
And it's, I understand, going to become a letter soon.
SSC? No.
No, a letter, like a L
Ooh.
Or A.
Oh, making all the buildings letters.
Letters, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Because nobody can remember a name. They remember parking lots by letters, and then buildings by letters.
By letters. Yeah. So new signage is coming up, but we are in the Student Success Center.
If it's only a single letter, the signs will be cheaper, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Save a little money.
They don't have to be as big, see, folks. Okay. Always thinking about cutting corners here, but not to the disservice of anyone. No, I wanted to point out your location is still on the main campus, per se, in what formerly was the Learning Resource Center, which still houses our, to use an old-fashioned term, library.
Well, actually, the library is a separate building that just kind of buttresses.
You got a wall between you, but it's the same. To me, it's the same building. Yeah, well,
they would argue it isn't.
Right. Well, my point is that a lot of special services to students are now in the so-called Welcome Center, and they're located just north of our North Campus parking lot, our north parking lot at the main campus. And it's just a little walk to the other side of the parking lot, but that's mainly for new students.
Yeah, that's the enrollment processes facility.
But sometimes a new student wants to talk to a counselor per se.
Then they need to come
walk across the parking
lot. Because we are here. There are a lot of students that don't realize that we're here. And we are in the Student Success Center. So please check us out.
Yep, absolutely. So Diane Green, Counseling, thank you so much for being here, telling us about the Non-Traditional Seminar for Women, Technology for Women Seminar, Wednesday, October 22nd. We'll keep mentioning it on the air.
Thank you,
Hope
Jay.
To see you next time around.
Thank
keep
you,
us informed.
Jay.
Thank you, Diane.
Yes. Thank you.
And in case you haven't figured out what's been happening in the news in Michigan, here is a summary from Jack Lessenberry that he's done for public radio out of Ann Arbor yesterday. So here's some of the headline stories from Michigan Public Radio, and we'll be back with more live on the new WHFR Journal right after this summary.
It's Wednesday, the morning we speak with Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry about what's going on in state politics. Well, Jack, Republican groups are pulling ads for U.S. Senate candidate Terry Lind Lann in Michigan. Why are they doing this?
Well, there's a battlefield principle of triage, which means that you, at some point, ignore the dying and go and treat the injured soldiers who have a chance of recovering, and that's sort of what's going on here. The National Republican Money has made a strategic decision that Terry Lind Lann's campaign is a loser. She's been in sort of free fall in the polls, been the subject of a lot of national stories, and Republicans very desperately want to win the Senate, and they're making the judgment that they're better off putting their money elsewhere in other very close races.
And Asian carp DNA has been found in the Kalamazoo River. How concerned should we be?
Very concerned. If these fish get into the Great Lakes, it could cost billions of dollars a year and damage to both commercial and sports fishing industries. They suck up everything in sight. The one variety of the silver carp fly out of the water and have broken people's jaws and arms crashing into them. It's a very bad thing, but it seems very unlikely that anybody's willing to do anything about it. At this point, this is a national problem rather than a state problem. There are two people in Michigan who have tried to do something valiantly. Both are Republicans. Former Senate Majority Leader Ken Sycamore a long time ago said we ought to put chlorine in the ballast tanks of these ocean-going freighters to kill invasive species. Candace Miller, the congresswoman from Macomb County, has a bill to seal the shipping canal between, there's an artificial canal connecting the Mississippi River where these carp have been moving up to the Great Lakes, and this is mainly opposed by President Obama, who of course is from Chicago. It would hurt the Chicago barge industry, so as far as I can see, nothing's going to be done, and these fish eventually are going to get into at least Lake Erie.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday decided not to hear same-sex marriage cases from a handful of states. That essentially means that gay marriage is legal in those parts of the country. Do you think that this inaction will have any impact on the Sixth Circuit court decision Michigan's waiting on? Again, that court will decide if Michigan's same-sex marriage ban is constitutional.
The Supreme Court tends to take cases where there's conflict between different courts. And if the Sixth Court were to rule, say, that overrule the trial judge and say that Michigan's ban was constitutional, the Supreme Court then probably would take that issue up. It's much more likely that the Fifth Circuit Court might rule that way in a case involving Louisiana. These appellate federal courts have personalities based on the complexion of the judges thereon. It seems to court watchers that the U.S. Supreme Court is likely eventually to do one of two things, either rule that same-sex marriage is constitutional everywhere or rule that it's up to the individual states. It's now considered beyond the possibility that they will outlaw same-sex marriage altogether. So if the Sixth Circuit Court, which is considering Michigan's appeal, rules that same-sex marriage is legal and the amendment is unconstitutional forbidding it, that means same-sex marriage in Michigan would become automatically legal, according to this Supreme Court ruling, but we just have to wait and see.
And when are we expected to hear back from the Sixth Circuit Court?
Judges rule with all deliberate speed, which means when they feel like it.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Jack, thank you so much for your insights.
Have a great day.
You're listening to the new WHFR Journal here from Henry Ford College. Jay Kornick with you. And you heard my voice on top of Jack Lessenberry, so I apologize to Mr. Lessenberry for that. One of the interesting points he brings up, and he had he went to greater length with an additional editorial, which I'm probably not going to share with you today. We're expecting more special guests in the studio from the Career Expo that's going on here until 2 o'clock today at Henry Ford College on the main campus. And those guests would be employers. Yeah, so we're going to have some of the employers, we hope, here talking about, of course, what kinds of jobs are they looking for, what sort of pay, what sort of skills are they experience what they're asking for. And so that was scheduled, and my colleague John Conroy has gone out to try to drag some in, but they're so busy out there, I don't know if they can leave their tables. Again, we have a huge crowd of current students and people from off campus too, looking for jobs, of course, always, but especially in the last couple of years. And so they may not be able to slide by today. So I'm going to continue in the spirit of things by mentioning that all opinions on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College, but we thank them for our freedom of speech that they're granting us. One of the things, if you heard Jack Lessenberry talk about it, that ads for Terry Lynn Land have been pulled, the one sponsored by the National Republican Committee. I was watching last night, and I still saw some ads for her, but they might have been paid for by her own campaign here in Michigan. But the Republican National Republican Party has, as he's described it in other editorials, they've decided to use the money for other races that might be winnable. That apparently it's not so good to throw money on a race that you can't win. And even with about 3 weeks to go before the election on November 4th, here in Michigan, they've decided that there's a number of races of Republicans, and they're just not going to put the money into TV ads, which are very expensive, and try to use that money elsewhere around the United States. And that's just a tactical issue. And it's really very, very exciting to follow some of these things. It's kind of interesting, too, that since Citizens United decision was made by the Supreme Court about 4 years ago now, Democrats thought, oh, it's all over and done with. All the rich people are going to throw tons of money into the elections, which they have done, and we won't be able to raise enough money to counter that. But, of course, for reelecting President Obama, they were able to find money to counter that much. And also, it's been proven true that in many of these races around the country, usually more money, more advertising, if you will, for your candidate is going to allow them to win. That's just a simple case, unless, of course, you're campaigning against an incumbent. So anyway, that was a very interesting turn of events. At this point, too, to stay on the politics point, FYI, this Sunday, 6 p.m., Channel 56 in Detroit, Public television, whatever channel it is on your cable system, will have the only, not really a debate, it's a public forum that's going to happen down at Wayne State between our current governor, Rick Snyder, and his major candidate, Mark Schauer, Representative Mark Schauer, a Democrat. So that's going to be 6 p.m., so watch that. That's going to be really something special. Perhaps the only time you see both candidates together kind of talking about the same issues, but it's not really a debate because of the format that they're using. 6 p.m. this Sunday, Detroit Public Television. In the studio, we have a special guest. And as I suspected, the Career Expo is going so well that we have the man who organized it, but the other employers are just so busy out there, they can't make it in. Chad Austin.
It's a good problem to have when the employers are so busy they can't stop by to talk to you, because we have so many great, great candidates there looking to network with them. So,
well, in fact, I ran late for this show and was a little bit crazed. Still am a little bit trying to come, because I had to park a little bit further away, which is fine. I should have planned a little more time for the extra walk. And I think it's great that you've done this. One thing I want to commend you on, because it's sort of first on campus, you had some banners outside about this event like 2 months ago.
Yes.
Continuing through. And, one of the problems here, as you know, at the college is any events in our student center, you might think, well, all students would know about those. They'd always be good. I'd say the majority of our students come to their classes in their classroom buildings and then leave. Or maybe they go to another class, another classroom building, and then leave. They don't come here. I think it's a very high percentage, maybe even 60, 70% students here don't ever get to the student center.
Well, it's a community college. I think that mindset still kind of pervades through on a lot of different things. And as a result, students have that mentality. You come to school, you do the classes, you go back in your car, you go home.
And they don't have the time sometimes, too, if they've got a job, God bless them, but or family responsibilities that they have to get back to, or Maybe they got pets. They got to walk a pet or two. You know, that's a responsibility too. So everybody seems to be short of time, of course, and so I understand that. But we're not. Of course, we have food. We have WHFR. We have all these wonderful facilities here. Student activities going on. But it's for those people that have the extra time on campus or extra time between classes. I'd highly recommend going to the library, and where it's a little bit quieter than here, not always, but a little bit quieter, and make use of those resources for studying and doing their homework and so on. But I'm sort of old school about this.
Well, you know, one of the things we really try and do, nothing wrong with old school. Don't ever.
The basics. I'm into the basics, I guess.
So what we try and do is when the expo comes up, is we try and let students know about it through some more unconventional methods. So we'll get out there with the sidewalk chalk, which I think we're the only office on campus that does that. And I'll get these students out there writing down directions with big arrows and trying to get students in to know about it. But you know, you've got to give them some advance warning. We don't let them come to the expo unless they're dressed professionally. So
I did see some stories in the local weekly papers about it too, so that's great. Do you know about how many people who are not current students are going? There's sort of a registration table there.
Yeah, we have every single person that comes through register. You know, we have over 80 employers here today looking to hire.
Wow.
And we'll hit somewhere between the neighborhood of 500 to 700 people that'll come through. I'd say about half of those are going to be members of the general public or would classify as alumni. Mm-hmm. But a lot of our current students are making use of this this career expo as well.
And that's again the word did get off campus certainly, as well as on campus, thanks to those banners. I think a lot of the events here in this building should have those banners on campus in the future. So let us know where you had them made, and if you can get us a discount.
I will let you know. That's not a problem at all.
A week from tomorrow, WHFR is doing a record show, our 7th annual record show, and it's really big and used vinyl, but all kinds of other music paraphernalia. And I'm not sure a lot of people on campus know about it, even though we've got our little teeny flyers that we're trying to put in buildings around here. But got to get the word out. We have a lot of things going on at this college, a lot of events. And I know that we are regularly getting things in the paper now. We sort of reorganized our public information office under Gary Irwin still, but I see a lot more in the papers than I used to. And I've complained about the papers, although sometimes it's not their fault, that they put things in like a day before the event. You know, and if people don't read that paper the day they get it, or they don't actually receive it until 2 days later because they're weekly papers, most of them anyway, it doesn't get. So I really need to get that stuff in there a week ahead in order to make those plans. What other sort of follow-up on this event? There are always a lot of things going. You're actually in charge of, it's still called the placement office?
It used to be the job placement office, but okay. You know, that's something that kind of denotes that 1950s mentality of you come in, we give you a slip of paper, go talk to this guy, and he'll set you up with a job. Mm-hmm. What we've changed our name to in the last year or so is the Office of Career Services, and what we try and do is provide all sorts of career service opportunities for students, and we adopt kind of a three-pronged method for doing that. We call it Explore, Prepare, and Connect. So we help students explore different job options and career options that are available to them with a degree from Henry Ford College. We help them prepare. Usually that takes the form of resume assistance, cover letter assistance, things like that, preparing for interviews, how to dress for interviews. You know, believe it or not, college students don't always dress professionally, and sometimes you need to help them with that a little bit. Then this is this expo is an example of kind of the third prong, which we operate under, which is the connect.
Mm-hmm.
With the advent of technology becoming so prevalent with everything that you do, you apply most of the time for jobs online. And while that's effective in getting a lot of applications out very quickly, you lose that human touch, that human interaction, that human component. So the Career Expo is one of our biggest events in trying to get students to have that face-to-face contact with employers, to walk up to them, let them know who they are, let them know what they're interested in, and hopefully make a strong connection.
We just mentioned how students on campus found out about that event from the big banners on a couple buildings here on campus. How did they find out about your other services? do you send an email when they enroll? I mean, we have a lot of students, a lot of new students every fall coming, and at some point they probably do want to explore Prepare or Connect, not just at the end of their program, but maybe these are some things to learn along the way.
Absolutely, and one of the things, the jokes that I tell students is that if you wait till your senior year and then ask me what you should do, I'll say you need to hop in the time machine, jump back to the start of your college career. We're the type of office where you need to see us early, and we can start getting you on the right path. We can help you explore and figure out what you want to do, but also along the way you can figure out what classes you need to take. You can figure out what sort of experiences you need to get while you're here on campus to set yourself apart when it comes time for that all-important first job interview. And those career aspirations that you have don't exist in a vacuum. You can't just get the degree and then go out and hope that everything's going to work out for you. You got to build your work experience. You've got to get something called a cooperative education experience if you can. The cooperative education program is run through our office as well. Mm-hmm. All these things designed to give our students maximum exposure to practical job opportunities, and that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Also, Chad, for a gentleman like myself who's retired and looking at going to a different career, what kind of programs have you devised for retirees?
You know, one of the things that I think is really exciting about working at Henry Ford College, I've worked at a lot of different colleges over the years, is we have all different types of students. There's not just the 18 to 24-year-old bracket, 22-year-old bracket, where everyone falls into a nice, neat category. Freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, you're out. Mm-hmm. With that Henry Ford College mentality, you've got all different types of students. So we try and take that into account when we develop career service plans. So to say that there's a magic cure for being a retiree or being someone who's been out of the workforce for a while, there's not. But what we try and do is sit down with you, go over things one point at a time, and figure out what it is that you can do that that might make you marketable in the job field. And so one thing I'd say is come see me. You know, we can sit down, we can have that conversation, we'll develop a plan. And the joke, again, I'm big on jokes with students because it tends to stick in their heads, is there's about 15,000 of you and there's one of me. So yeah. if you never come see me, I'll still be busy. But if you want to take the time, I can help. That's what I'm here to do.
Very good.
The situation today is, yes, people need a job because that brings in money, but it's really a process of continuing your education and continuing to develop your skills, because unlike, well, when I went to high school in the last millennia, I had a counselor from 7th grade through 12th grade. It was one of those schools that combined junior high and high school. That's all we talked about. What is the one correct job for Jay Koronick? Hmm. And that just doesn't happen anymore, because the way the world turns, you have to find out what are your strengths, what are your skills primarily, and then when you start learning and improving and discovering more about the world, what career areas are possible.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, where can you get the first job? But it's not a matter of getting pigeonholed into a single job or career very early, because that may not work out for all these reasons, all these other factors.
Absolutely. And, we tell students that the mindset of graduate college, find a job, work 30 years, get the gold watch, retire, does not happen anymore. You're going to have your multiple careers. You're going to have different career arcs and different career paths. It's not that linear anymore. Mm-hmm. And students seem to understand that. And they seem, especially the millennial generation, they seem a lot more comfortable with that. You know, the not knowing would drive me crazy. Not knowing what's going to happen 5 years, 6 years, 10 years down the road.
Sure.
But they seem okay with it. And they know, and we tell them that it's not unusual for you to have 3, 4, even 5 careers during your work period, during the life that you work.
And it's exciting if you plan properly and you continue to explore these possibilities and continue to educate yourself on things that interest you and seem interestingly challenging to you, to keep changing. You know, because to me, in a way, it would be kind of boring if you did the same thing over and over again, even for 30 years. Mm-hmm. But some people are fine with that, I guess. But I'm just saying, whatever is right for you, it probably means the way the world is constantly changing, technology changing, that's one of the reasons, but there's political and social issues too. You've got to be always looking on how to improve your knowledge, your skills, and so your office is working ongoing with a lot of our graduates too.
Absolutely.
Right?
And the thing that I always like to tell students and anyone that I really come in contact with is, this is an office for you while you're in school, but it's also something that's there for you when you graduate. If you graduate with a degree or with an associate level degree or a certificate, right. You have access to our services for the rest of your life. And you can come back 10, 15, 20, 25 years from now. I'll probably still be here. Because I really like it here. I found my spot. But that's something that we let them know. And you are going to change. You're going to grow. And, you know, the 27-year-old me and the 37-year-old me would have a really interesting conversation because they're at two very different points in their lives. So, of course, you're going to grow. You're going to change. You're going to try new things. But I think that Henry Ford College offers a great opportunity to come back, retool, gain some knowledge, gain some experience in a particular skill set, and maybe move in a different area. And we see a lot of students that are doing that and taking advantage of that opportunity.
I'm going to let you get back to the expo, which still got 15 minutes to go, but since you're the guy in charge of it, we probably need you there. But how can students on campus right now, or even considering coming on campus, find out more about career services?
Well, I'll give you two different ways. Number one is you can always stop by. We are in the Student Success Center right next to counseling, right below the Learning Center. The Learning Lab right next to the library. We are in 113. We're always open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, with extended office hours on Tuesdays until 6:30. Tuesdays are also our walk-ins. It's first come, first served. That's for short 5-10-minute appointments. We're pretty busy on Tuesdays. We found that that's to be a pretty popular day. Second thing that I want to point out is our website. It's careers.hfcc.edu. A lot of great information on there. You can access our social media sites from there. And a lot of other really great services that we think are pretty great for students and for alumni alike.
At the start of the hour, we had a nice discussion with Diane Green about their non-traditional technology options for women, mm-hmm. which is going to come up on the 22nd. And, of course, counseling is located in our newly renamed Student Success Center, which used to be Learning Resources Center. So you're probably on the same floor right next to counseling?
We partner with them all the time. And we actually are doing a joint project that's coming up as soon as we can get our funding straightened out, called the Learning Resource Center. That's the building, but we're calling it the CRC, the Career Resource Center. Mm. There's going to be a special place where students can do some career exploration. We're going to have a learning lab, a lot of really great stuff tied in, all designed to help students explore different career options.
And Diane mentioned that the building, though, is actually going to be renamed with a letter.
Yes.
So it may not...
Big changes.
Of course, I made the bad joke that with all the new signage on campus, they're going to save a ton of money just having to make a sign big enough for one letter. They don't have to have 3-4 words that go 10 feet long.
Absolutely.
So you don't know the letter they're going to give you yet.
I don't. I'm shooting for R for resume, but I think that's probably going to be a little too cheesy for.
I don't know. And parking lots, are they numbers or letters now? I'm always confused.
They're letters now, but I think they might.
I don't
be
think we have the
numbers.
Signs up
no.
that give the letters for the lots.
And no,
because today they said, don't park in lot A. You're like, where is lot A? I've only been here 45 years. I don't know where that is, and there's no sign. But we'll get there. Well, it's been great talking to you, Chad. Thank you so much with pulling together the Career Expo. What year is it? I mean,
this is our third annual. It'll be a yearly thing from now on.
Absolutely, yeah. In a way, I'm sure some people would love to see it every day, but that would be a little stretching your resources, I think.
If I had hair, I'd be pulling it out, but I don't.
Thanks so much. It looks like a great program out there. I know it'll be a lot of people will be very happy with the connections they've made today. We're going to have a commentary now on the new WHFR Journal from Jim Hightower. Talk about those GMOs. You know what they are? Okay, here we go.
Tenacity can be a virtue, but the persistent push by giant food conglomerates to deceive us consumers has turned their tenacity into raw mendacity. Brand-name food peddlers are spending hundreds of millions of dollars on lobbyists, lawyers, campaign donations, PR hypesters, and political manipulators so they can genetically and dangerously alter the dinner we put on our family tables without bothering to tell us which items they've messed with. With practically no public notice, their first deception was to get Washington to okay the production and introduction of genetically modified organisms into corn, canola, soy, and other crops. Then, they quietly pushed to prevent federal regulators from requiring that these tampered Frankenfoods be labeled as containing GMOs. Next, they tried a grand deception, insisting that foods tainted with GMOs qualify for the national organic label. Even our usually submissive regulators balked at that one. But look out, for here they come again. Big Foods Industry Front Group, the Grocery Manufacturers Association, is now demanding that foods with genetically engineered ingredients be allowed to use the word natural on their packages. Natural? Let's see. One, these biotech mutations are not products of nature, but of corporate technicians. And two, the plants are manufactured in corporate labs by extracting genes from a foreign plant or even an animal, then splicing those genes into the manufactured creature. The very DNA of this man-made food is altered, with no understanding of the long-term environmental or health consequences. This is Jim Hightower saying, a Twinkie is more natural than that. They're perverting both our language and nature's reality. To oppose these profiteers' tenacious mendaciousness, contact the Environmental Working Group. That's at www.ewg.org.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
And here we are, Jay Koronek, John Conroy, new WHFR Journal on WHFR.fm, the station making waves. We have about 10 minutes or so left in the show, and then Highway 61 will begin, Best in the Blues, starting at 2 o'clock today. Let's update you on a couple of things upcoming on this show. Yeah, it's a show promo for this show. We have some interesting guests scheduled for next week, and some have just been finalized. As I said, it's the election season. Mm-hmm. Next week, we begin the hour with the superintendent of public schools himself, Brian Whiston, along with their public information officer, Dave Mustin, former student of mine, so proud of him. Of course, years ago, he did it all himself, of course. He went through school and everything after he was here at this college. But anyway, they're coming back in to talk about the millage issues. Another millage, you say, on the ballot? Didn't we just vote on one last year? Well, you know, every school system, pretty much every school system, is supported by several different millages. And this is not one that you normally would think of, and it's different from the ones you voted on last fall. So we want to talk about the millage renewal proposal coming up on the ballot this November. It is on the website. It does impact on 25% of their budget if it doesn't pass. So, but they're only asking for a renewal, no additional percentage in the millage. So we'll have them here to inform you, not to tell you how to vote on this, but to inform you as much as possible. They're trying to get the message out exactly what kind of millage is this. And in fact, it's simply a renewal, but that's never simple in this world. A lot of people like to spend less money. So why do we need this, this particular money? Well, why do we need 20% of our budget? Mm-hmm. Okay, how can you live without 20%? That would be a terrible thing to happen, of course. But so the superintendent and Dave Mustin will be here for the first 10 or 15 minutes. And then for the last half hour, she's supposed to arrive about 1:20 or so, and we'll have her on the air as soon as we can after Brian Whiston finishes our discussion of the millage. Debbie Dingell is running for 12th District in the U.S. Congress. And yes, you've recognized that name correctly. She is the wife of current Representative John Dingell. You probably knew that if you know anything about politics. She's been his wife for 20, 30 years at least.
At least.
Somewhere in there.
Right there.
And we see her around at Dearborn events all the time, either with her husband. She's been the head of many different boards. Anyway, we'll talk to her about her qualifications for the office. Her challenger, her major challenger, a Republican, Terry Bowman, was here on this show a couple weeks ago and gave him, as it turned out, about 30 minutes to talk about his qualifications and what he thought about many issues of the day. And we'd like to know from Debbie Dingell. She is technically a challenger too. You know, on this show, when we schedule interviews during the election seasons, we only have an hour a week, folks. There's only so many weeks that these candidates are out and about. So we focus on challengers, not incumbents. And technically, Debbie Dingell is a challenger, even though, yes, she's married to the man that is currently in this position, but she is not John Dingell. So we're going to go over how she feels about issues and what initiatives she might start that she has in mind. You know, she is a different person. Let's find out where she stands on these issues. It certainly would be wrong to assume that she is totally in agreement with every position her husband has. In fact, most wives would be very insulted if you suggested that. So now she might be very, complimented to say, yes, I'm glad you see it that way. Because, you know, I'm glad you mentioned it that way, because I too do totally agree with everything John Dingell stands for. Maybe she'll admit that she was the one that told him how to vote those couple of issues or thousands of issues. Wives have a lot of influence, you know, because they're right there every day, right? Usually. Okay. So we're very excited. Next week's show, Superintendent Brian Whiston and Debbie Dingell for approximately the last half hour to talk about her candidacy. And it was just confirmed today, even John Conroy doesn't know this. But yes, after weeks of making phone calls, candidate for challenger for 19th District Judge in Dearborn, Tony Guerrero, has agreed to be on our show on the 24th. And that was, as I said, just confirmed minutes before my show, in the midst of my computer problems and parking issues and so on. I had a nice conversation with him. And he commended us. And, you know, another thing we do on this show in the time that we have, I don't think we have time to do so-called mudslinging or negative campaigning. So I don't allow it. And I tell them that at the outset. If you start trashing, whether it's you've got reasons for it or not, or so-called facts, the other opponents, you're off the air with me. And I've never had to kick somebody off the air because he understood. We only want to know who you are, where you're coming from, what do you believe in terms of how to do this job. And how do you think you would do the job? And if you've had prior experience in similar ways, were elected before or serving in a similar position, tell us a little bit about that history. So we're just going to have a very open discussion. Mr. Guerrero was fine with my our guidelines for the show. And although it's interesting, he said, and this is just sort of personal insights, that he... It doesn't like his face, the looks of his face. I personally have said, you know, I have a face for radio.
Yeah.
So I tried to say, you know, we don't have any cameras here. You know, however, it's ironic because his face has been either on the first page or the second or third page of every local newspaper. His ads
have been well
for office
documented
for 6 months. So his face is out there, folks. You should know Tony Guerrero's face now. Probably had a nice photographer that worked with him until they got a photo that had the proper lighting so that he was happy with it, because he must have given approval to the photo to be used, you know. But we're not concerned about that. I don't care about you. You could be the elephant man and still the best man to run for judge or our office. The problem with today's campaigning is if you're not pretty, you probably won't get elected. And that's because we're so TV-based and print-based. You know, even in the internet, if we don't see your face, and if it's not pretty, I mean, would the Elephant Man actually win a race today? Never. I'm talking about the movie, but there was a real life Elephant Man. I think they made the movie a couple times now.
John Hurt.
Yes. At one point, David Lynch did the movie, the version that I saw in one of his first films. But anyway, so that's the plug for our upcoming shows here. And, as long as we're doing these upcoming show plugs, now it's going to be, just because we got all the candidates that we can possibly handle here scheduled, on the 31st, John, we're going to have the candidates forum.
Okay.
The actual recording, as provided by the Dearborn Public Schools. Thank you very much, Dave Mustonen. I've just sort of I had to clip off the beginning and the opening and the closing by the moderators. But all the questions and all the answers from all 10 candidates out of the 11, one didn't show up, from September 30th. So I know that the video is probably out there somewhere, whether on Comcast or WOW on some cable channel perhaps, or maybe it's Dearborn Public Schools website has it, you know, that you can click on it once you're at the website. I don't know. I haven't checked on that, but I'm sure Dave will tell us next week about where it is. But we're going to have the actual recording right here on the air. It's going to take the whole hour, but never been so important, folks. You've got 11 candidates on the ballot and 10 candidates in this forum, and you've got to choose three that you want to have represent you in this district to help to direct the education of our children. Probably one of the most important elections, because it's three people out of seven that are coming in, and all of them are newbies, with the exception of Mary Petchlikoff, who's not currently on the board. She has prior experience of being on the board, but she's not currently serving. So she hasn't been there a couple of years. Anyway, I'm just saying that a lot of new people and a whole bunch of different ideas there. Who are you going to vote for? You really should vote for the best candidate. How can you find out? Well, this candidate forum, and I will say in this week's papers, where did I make my notes here? Dearborn Press and Guide from last Sunday, if you can pull that out, they have an article on page C3. They buried it. Section C, not even on the front page of Section C, but talks about the candidate forum, really just sort of describes in general that it happened. And this week's Times Herald, from this Wednesday, it's dated 10/8/14, they have the story about the candidates forum right on page 1, which I think should be where it should be in terms of local news. That's very important. This is where it should be. So it's on page 1 of the Times Herald for this week. John, I have commanded the last 10 minutes. Did you have a late-breaking story we can squeeze in here?
Well, I certainly want to put in a plug for tomorrow. Saturday, October 11th, is our 100th anniversary of Gros Eel.
Oh, my goodness.
We are having all kinds of festivities down the Macomb Street area, and party and music and food, and everyone's invited.
Now, it was discovered by some Frenchman before that, probably.
It was.
Yeah, but this is like when they incorporated this as a township or a city or something?
The actual time when we broke off from Monguagan in Trenton.
Well, where did they go in Gros Eel? I mean, it is a big island, north, south, east, west.
Right in the middle of the island, we have a street called Macomb Street, and there's a business district and various real estate offices and other places to celebrate, and there'll be a farmer's petting zoo type thing, and as well as music and entertainment all day Saturday.
Oh my goodness. Well, happy birthday, Gros Eel.
Yes.
What could we do without you? I don't know. There's still that sort of wonderful gardens there too on the north part of the island at
Westcroft Gardens,
and often I didn't buy anything there, but you can they actually let you wander through the various places where they're growing things, you know, beautiful plants and that in the springtime that you can look at.
We even have a haunted hayride there in the fall.
Oh my gosh, they've got almost everything there. Okay, let me see here, just looking down my list.
We should put a plug in for the record show.
Well, I think we did earlier. Okay. WHFR record show here a week from tomorrow at Henry Ford Campus in the Student Center building. It opens at 9 in the morning. If you want to get here for the best choices of vinyl recordings, going all the way to 4 p.m., it's a big event. We will have, I don't think we have 80, like they have 80 people here to employ you. I think we've got about 40 tables of different vendors that will have all different kinds of vinyl for you and things that go along with vinyl. Like in some cases, I know WHFR, we have some record-related equipment like record players and I think even turntable preamps that we'll part with for a small amount. And let me see, I mentioned the Snyder Shower debate this Sunday, 6 p.m., Channel 56, or whatever channel on your cable network Detroit Public Television is at.
The Dearborn Symphony program tonight.
Absolutely. WHFR will be there. I know several from our staff will be at the WHFR welcome table since we are a co-sponsor.